This is almost the, I guess, the last one that I started preaching following the disciples and apostles. I was not able to cover all the details, but in Romans. And the reason I picked today's Romans is there in that short scripture reading is the depth of struggle that Paul found in spreading and welcoming new people into Christianity. And also, probably in that is the struggle, ongoing struggle for all people, for religious and spiritual, or just religious or spiritual. It's in a way about how much to respect, do the tradition, and how much can we just go with intention and motivation. Paul was welcoming all these Gentile people who had no idea and no respect to this 1,000-year-old Judaic tradition. And in his mind, he believed he could not impose all those traditions upon them, especially the circumcision. They didn't like it, the newcomers, at all. And at the same time, himself was a Jew, a Pharisee. He knows all the rituals and traditions. But then also in his self-examination, he knows, in a way, that his own people were not doing things with believing and knowing the meaning of it. So in a nutshell, saying, which is more important, doing the right action or having the right intention? Kind of tough call, isn't it? So that's my question to you. And let us reflect upon it. It took quite a long time for the first Christians or Christians to come up with something that we call rituals. And many people worked on it, and we feel like this style of worship is something that is quite common and almost universal for most Christian churches, besides a few others, or variations to it. But basic components are about the same. But the first Christians, they had a huge problem on how to break away from ancient Judaic tradition and which ones are right ones to choose for this newly emerging religion, which is supposed to embrace all the people. An issue in the essence of this whole practice is about how do you receive salvation? That was important for them. Is it important for you? Salvation. I'm not saying in a way evangelic, very fundamentalistic, saying getting a ticket to heaven. But salvation is very important for us all. It is our sense of getting one with God, coming into God's presence, getting the blessings, cleansing of all the things that we have done yet we regret. The power comes from above and cleanses us as we accept them. And ultimately, we unite with our Creator in such a good, eternal way. Salvation. How do you get salvation? And very principal, fundamental argument happened in between by believing it, by doing it. Is it so different? If you actually hear it, and if you read what Paul's trying to say about believing it, that includes actions. But as time passes, people were divided into groups that believing it is more important. How can you do any faithful action without believing? And the other party is saying, well, you're spending all your time believing it. When are you going to do something about it? It's called faith versus charity. Good intention versus good action. It's so common in our relationships too. Honey, I love you. I love you! You know, sometimes in our relationships, we say to each other, I love you, but in actions, that's not really loving. How is it possible? If you love somebody, you have love, you're pretty sure about it. How is your action not really somehow aligned, united with your intention? Well, we experience that. Somehow, our intentions and actions are not 100% compatible. But that's where our question comes. Why? Or why not? According to Swedenborg, the Bible is fully about it. And Swedenborg's explanation about this whole spiritual journey basically is about that. How do we unite our intention with our action? In one sentence, you're here to love. Adding one more word to it, you're here to love properly. In Jesus' word, you're here to love selflessly. And our problem is we begin with self-centered love. In a way, selfish love. So, it begins with love though. It begins with love and with love. The whole process that guides this journey is called truth or faith. That's how Swedenborg simplifies the whole thing. That's so simple. And he explains that's where you find the struggle between brothers and sisters happens. And it shows this kind of ununified, still divided, the division, conflict between good and truth, which shouldn't happen. But it does happen. Just like we experience. Sometimes it's because my lack of self-control that I let out my emotions unfiltered to the ones that I supposed not to, that I regret. Sometimes I indulge myself too much into certain things that I regret afterwards. Sometimes I don't do things that I supposed to do because of my laziness and I regret. And we have so many regrets. I do too, actually. When I was 20, I was so arrogant that I told my friend that I have nothing to regret. And I'll live like that. I'm like, yeah. I regret saying that. Yeah. Yes, I was 20. And I thought I could live like that. You know, you do what you think is right to do, and you don't say anything that is in your mind. You say everything that is in your mind. So you're all good. Well, in human relationship, that's not exactly how you can play as you get older and older. Sometimes you have to filter, or many times, we have to filter, in a way, self-process, self-examine before we say something or before we do something, because that's more proper. When I think the receiver, then I have to definitely filter it. Because in my case, I'm not sure about you, but my case, the first initial thought wasn't that much loving a lot of times. So I had to rethink and see if this is really good for the receiver. Like my wife, my kid, you. Is it good for you? Is it something that I am really thinking it that way because it's good for me? But how about, is it good for you too? And that process is not automatic. That's the struggle that we see Cain and Abel, the brother, first brother, end up, what? Brother killing brother. Very classic story, the first tragedy that repeats in human history too. If you go on, there is Ishmael. You know Ishmael or Ishmael? Ishmael is the, actually he's the rightful first son of Abraham, but by an Egyptian slave girl, Hagar. So he and his mother were kicked out from the house. And because of Isaac. So there's Ishmael and Isaac. And there's Jacob and Esau. And then Joseph and his brothers, they have full struggles, you know. They sold Joseph to a slave, traders. And if you go, you know, furthermore, there are many, many struggles. Even in Gospels, there is classic story of two sisters, and you know them, Mary and Martha. And I have heard many times you either identify more in the way I'm Martha. How about, why not Mary? Why do they have to be somewhat separated and identified as different or even sometimes opposing? They're sisters, brothers, they're siblings. Good and the truth in us, good intention and good action, supposed to be united. It happens in one person. It originates from one source. Yet, when they're not aligned in the same level and same degree together, one goes one way, another goes another way. That's why, with all the loving heart, your actions sometimes are not so much loving. And you regret. You know, last night as I was entertaining this thought, I really found, and I really regret, I didn't have a chance to say to my dad that I love you. I never was able to say that. I mean, I have many excuses, but I have heard that he loves me at the most. I felt his love. We never lived together after I was 3. But I had a chance to go to say him that I also love you. I never did that. And I don't know why I didn't do that. And it didn't actually occur to my heart that I should have done that until last night. And I got shocked. I'm like, wow. See, these things kind of makes a mark in our heart and make a wound and scar. And scar actually aches. And sometimes your heart is aching, but sometimes you don't know why it's aching until you finally find why. And I found one spot last night. And I don't know why I didn't do that. My entire life, I have heard so many relatives and siblings saying that my dad loved me the best way he can possibly do. And I agree. But somehow, I felt that I didn't need to say back to him that I love you. And it shocks me more because, you know how many times Roy comes to me and say, I love you, Dad, per day? Like over 10 times. And how many times my daughter comes to me and say, I love you, Dad? Can't even count that. Per day. I'm talking per day. And I just take that as granted. Yet, I haven't said it to my dad. And I realize that. Like, wow. You know, somehow, the love that we haven't fully materialized and actualized, even if we desire to do, or we're supposed to, sometimes it leaves a scar and that aches in your heart. Our journey, this whole journey, is about learning how to be loved and how to love. When you're a child, your job is to be loved, to receive all that. But as you become adult, just like in 1 Corinthians saying, when I become adult, I put my childish ways. You are to love, meaning you are to give. And the transition's so hard. Probably that's why we have so many adult children or childish adult. Sometimes it's a good thing. There's a difference between childish adult and childlike adult. I love childlike adult. I'm not sure I really love childish adult. I'm trying not to be one of them. So, what's in your heart? And do you see that in your action? That is my question to you today. You have love in your heart. Do you see that in your action? And that one, if you don't see, you will regret one day. As I am regretting one deeply today. So may God bless you all in this beautiful world with many people who love you and more people whom you can love and enrich your life. Amen.